Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the Church.
This is Enduring It Well, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints with host W.A. Christensen.
Welcome to Enduring It Well. As always, we appreciate you listening. This episode comes to us after the recent inspiring General Conference of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in October 2013. Sunday, October 6th, I was seated in the conference center filled with anticipation and faithful expectations. As always, I was not disappointed. When President Monson began to speak about the recent loss of his dear wife Frances, the room became respectfully quiet. President Monson has been an outstanding speaker all the many years he's served as a general authority, skillfully blending inspiring stories with moving poetry. But there was something special, something different about this talk. Perhaps it was because it was his story. He was telling us of his trial, his heartache, and we hurt for him. As the talk developed, it occurred to me that I was witnessing arguably the most powerful sermon I have ever witnessed on the purpose of trials and how to effectively face them. As I sat surrounded by saints of all walks of life, surely each with personal trials, it occurred to me that this kind, loving prophet of God was doing as he always has done, tending to the flock, looking out for the one who may have strayed, may be injured, or may be lost. In tears and with full admiration, I truly thank God for a living, loving prophet who admitted that sometimes dark clouds even hang over him. Nearly every point he made concerning trials I have heard discussed here by faithful saints on this program. I decided during that talk to dedicate a show to that profound address by President Thomas S. Monson, peppered with comments and insight from past guests to Enduring It Well. All of the guest comments today can be found in the archive at the Mormon Channel. Simply click on Series, then Enduring It Well, and then View All. I hope you enjoy this unique study of adversity's purpose in mortality.
It may be safely assumed that no person has ever lived entirely free of suffering and sorrow, nor has there ever been a period in human history that did not have its full share of turmoil and misery. When the pathway of life takes a cruel turn, there's the temptation to ask the question, why me?
I remember one such guest on Enduring It Well who mentioned the moment he cried, why me? I remember it vividly because the guest is my son, Jason Christensen, who suffered his whole life with muscular dystrophy. I had never heard him tell of that moment until I interviewed him in episode 16, Be of Good Cheer.
When I was younger, I was maybe 6 or 7, I don't know, somewhere around there. I was crying in my bed and I just cried and said, you know, why me, why me? I had a good cry. I fell asleep. And I never really questioned or, you know, thought why I had to have this, because I think even at that age, I still knew that this was not a coincidence. It was something that I was meant to have. I wasn't upset at Heavenly Father, but, you know, we do have times where we wonder why we have to have this, or, you know, sometimes people curse God and why do I have to have this? It is dangerous because it hurts our spirit. I think it doesn't show gratitude. When we do get upset at our Heavenly Father, we're actually being upset at the person who loves us the most.
At times, there appears to be no light at the end of the tunnel, no sunrise to end the night's darkness. We feel encompassed by the disappointment of shattered dreams and the despair of vanished hopes.
In episode 69, I interviewed 68-year-old Mark Christiansen, who broke his neck in a lake diving accident when he was 16 years old. He has been paralyzed ever since.
mortality is a short time. Now that I'm 68 years old, it has gone surprisingly fast. There will be a bright day. Definitely, things are going to be better.
We join in uttering the biblical plea, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" We feel abandoned, heartbroken, alone. We're inclined to view our own personal misfortunes through the distorted prism of pessimism. We become impatient for a solution to our problems, forgetting that frequently the heavenly virtue of patience is required.
Brent and Shannon Robinson were faced with the terminal illness of their 17-year-old son, Tyler. His mother, Shannon, shared a journal entry Tyler made after he learned he had cancer.
"It seemed surreal at first, but I was okay with it. Then I went to meet with the doctors, and they told me what I was facing. I needed to have 20 rounds of chemotherapy, and it would take a whole year. I would also need an operation and 6 weeks of radiation. I remember going home and feeling so mad and depressed. My bishop came over that night and gave me a blessing. He told me that people who go through hard things either become bitter and angry or they learn from it and become stronger. He told me that I had a choice to make. From that night on, I chose to be the bigger man."
Tyler gave a talk around Thanksgiving time. It says that having patience allowed me to see the world and my life with an eternal perspective, knowing that this world is only a blink of an eye compared to how long our existence was and will be.
In part two of my interview with the Robinsons, Mother Shannon, Father Brent, and Brother Jesse discuss the trial of dealing with Tyler's death.
"People ask how we're doing, and I always say, well, periods of pain followed by periods of peace. And it's those periods of peace that we know that the Holy Ghost is sustaining us and helping us."
If you look at it through eternal lenses, that death isn't a tragedy. It's actually a triumph. It is a coming home.
If there's something that I've learned through this whole trial with Tyler's passing, our Heavenly Father has been more of a father to me than I could have imagined. He was a guiding influence. He was my father. He was God. And it has reassured my testimony in His Son, Jesus Christ, and in the plan of salvation especially.
The difficulties which come to us present us with the real test of our ability to endure.
Marine Officer Kerry Clarson's Jeep was broadsided, flipped, and burst into flames. He was badly burned over most of his body. In episode 68, I asked Kerry what was the greatest lesson he had learned in this adversity.
"Knowing that my Heavenly Father will give me what I need to face whatever I face. The other thing I've taken from this is to be proactive, whether it be in greeting people and extending myself that way or just being supportive and helpful to others around me. Because that's where you find the most happiness, and that's where you find the ability to forget about your own aches and pains, so to speak, and your own trials."
Was it worth the price you had to pay to get that?
"No question. Leave it in my Father's hands to give me the trials I need to become who He would have me be, and to trust in Him to give me those challenges and help see me through them."
A fundamental question remains to be answered by each of us. Shall I falter or shall I finish? Some do falter as they find themselves unable to rise above their challenges. To finish involves enduring to the very end of life itself.
Such faith has been expressed many times on Enduring It Well. One such guest comes to mind when talking about enduring to the end, and that's Lily Woolsey, who was 92 when I interviewed her in her childhood home in the small mountain mining town of Clear Creek, Utah.
I think that I've had a great life. It's been a life of service as much as I could do it. I love the church. Every call I've had, I've served in the church callings 10 to 20 years in each one. It's these calls that have made my life meaningful.
In episode 26, I asked Lily what allowed her to remain committed to the gospel all the days of her life, even in the trying times when she helped her parents, her brothers, and her husband pass away.
I think just my love for God and Jesus the Christ and the work that the principles that they want us to live. The covenants that I have taken mean a lot. When the sacrament is passed, it's very special. I close my eyes and sometimes somebody has to poke me on the side. And
you're not sleeping, are you?
No, I'm not sleeping. I promise you I'm not. I'm thinking of the purpose of the sacrament, the bread and the water, and what he did for us. He died so we could live. And then he was resurrected to open the way for our repentance and resurrection.
As we ponder the events that can befall all of us, we can say with Job of old, man is born unto trouble. Job was to face a test which could have destroyed anyone. Shorn of his possessions, scorned by his friends, afflicted by his suffering, shattered by the loss of his family, he was urged to curse God and die. He resisted this temptation and declared from the depths of his noble soul, and I quote, "Behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. I know that my Redeemer liveth." Job kept the faith. Will we do likewise as we face those challenges which will be ours?
Catherine England lost her husband at age 24. Left a widow to raise two toddlers. She felt alone and
angry. And at that time, I took my belief system and laid it out on the table for a while because I was in pieces and I didn't know what I believed anymore. After some months, I looked again, this is figurative, of course, but at what I believed, and I picked up the first piece and brought it back into me, and that piece was, is there a God? And I decided, yes, there was a God.
She needed time to process her devastation. She told how she did that in episode 37. This would become essential as two of Catherine's three daughters would also pass away at young ages.
Once I put my testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ back together, I did not need to question again. And in fact, as each of these experiences has descended upon me, my understanding of the gospel and of the love of the Lord has strengthened, has increased. Heavenly Father knows me. He forgives me for weaknesses, allows me to repent when I make mistakes, gives me experiences that move me along the continuum so that one beautiful day, I don't know when it will be, I will see my children again, and I will hug them, and we will cry. I will not know any better than I know now that they live. God is very aware of each of us as an individual. We are not a faceless throng of humanity on the earth.
I've noticed the value of hearing others struggle in hardship and trial. I can't even count how many times I've heard, hearing that story reminded me that I'm not alone in my trial. Many I've interviewed have drawn strength from pioneer courage of those who have gone before.
The history of the church, and this the dispensation of the fullness of times, is replete with the experiences of those who have struggled yet who have remained steadfast and of good cheer. The reason they have made the gospel of Jesus Christ the center of their lives. This is what will pull us through. Whatever comes our way, we will still experience difficult challenges, but we will be able to face them, to meet them head on, and to emerge victorious.
In episode 7, Dr. Dale Hull describes breaking his neck on a trampoline and the news that he would never walk or breathe on his own again. This tragic accident taught the good doctor that adversity teaches in a way nothing else can.
The general platitude is that we always hear, we have hope, we have faith. What does that really mean? I think the challenge is that we all have to find that for ourselves. Unfortunately, like it or not, adversity is the gateway that helps us find that. And if you didn't have it, most of us wouldn't discover it. Some of us would, but I think adversity has to be the element that creates the chemical reaction to give us the amazing results that you see. I've learned an incredible amount in the last 11 years since my accident, to the point where if I were given the choice to be normal again, but I have to forget everything I've learned, I couldn't go back.
That's amazing to me.
It's amazing to me.
Could you ever even imagine that you would say what you just said?
I can't even imagine that I say it now, and I just heard myself say it, but that's the way I feel. I just know that there is a divine nature to all of us, that we're not alone, and that God is active in our life much more than we imagine or realize. The blessing of adversity, which sounds paradoxical, is really given to us out of love. As hard as things are, it's really for us. It's all for our benefit.
From the bed of pain, from the pillow wet with tears, we are lifted heavenward by that divine assurance and precious promise, and I quote, "I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Such comfort is priceless.
Cheryl Clark Monk's firefighter husband was electrocuted in the line of duty, as described in episode 64. In that episode, Cheryl tells us what she really learned.
I've learned really to trust my Heavenly Father. I've learned that He intervenes in my life in ways that I can't even comprehend. I've learned that prayers are answered and that He is aware of every beat of my heart. I've learned to pull back and let the Father and the Savior take more control of my life, because they've always made it better than I ever dreamed I could. Their successes for me have always been greater than my goals have been for myself.
I've been impressed by the wisdom learned by our guests as they suffer things no one would ever want to suffer. The lessons taught are universal and not reserved for an elite few. President Monson put it this way.
As I've traveled far and wide through the world, fulfilling the responsibilities of my calling, I've come to know many things, not the least of which is that sadness and suffering are universal. I cannot begin to measure all of the heartache and sorrow I've witnessed as I visited with those who are dealing with grief, experienced illness, facing divorce, struggling with a wayward son or daughter, or suffering the consequences of sin. The list could go on and on, for there are countless problems which can befall us.
In episode 31, I interviewed Amram Musungu, a wonderful man who was born into pure poverty in a small village in Kenya, Africa. He was able to say, looking back, that he has grown and become stronger.
They're all answers in the gospel. Answers to all the challenges of life, all the difficulties we go through.
Through his trial, Amram has learned just how his Heavenly Father has made his life better. Facing his trial, this humble husband and father has seen his life change for the better.
I know that He is there for me. I would not have an eternal family that I do if I did not rely upon Him. I would not have food on the table if I did not rely upon Him, knowing that He provides everything that we need in this life. So He makes my life better. I am blessed. I couldn't ask for anything more.
As Amram's trial has played out, he has seen the Lord's hand in his life. In episode 31, I was touched by Amram's burning desire to turn now and bless the lives of his fellow men in his homeland of Kenya.
There is no any single day that goes by without thinking about the people in Africa, especially those going through a lot of challenges in the villages, the suffering that I can imagine, what I went through myself. My heart is pretty much in Africa, trying to think of what I could do in the future to help and to better many people's lives.
A sampling of many problems have been chronicled here on Enduring It Well. The trials experienced by our guests have ranged from life-changing injuries to the death of a loved one, from plane crashes to train crashes, the tragedies of Columbine and Trolley Square shooting, to the horror of 9/11. We've discussed trials of the heart and trials known only to the sufferer. Some face loneliness, others are blind, deaf, or unable to walk. President Monson explained the reason for such suffering.
Our Heavenly Father, who gives us so much to delight in, also knows that we learn and grow and become stronger as we face and survive the trials through which we must pass.
16-year-old Natalie White's doctor discovered she had a hole in her heart. In episode 62, she described what comforted her.
Well, I actually have a song that I love. It's Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above. Before my surgery, I did have a wandering heart. I didn't know what I wanted to be or who I even was. And I feel like my surgery kind of just handed my heart over to the Lord for him to seal to him forever.
We know that there are times when we will experience heartbreaking sorrow, when we will grieve, and when we may be tested to our limits. However, such difficulties allow us to change for the better, to rebuild our lives in the way our Heavenly Father teaches us, and to become something different from what we were, better than what we were, more understanding than what we were, more empathetic than what we were, with stronger testimonies than we had before.
In episode 49, I interviewed a young wife and mother who slowly realized she was going deaf. Terrified, Christina Miller told no one until it became critical that she confide in her doctor and then in her husband. She spent many years wondering if she could conquer this terrifying challenge in her life.
When you invited me to be on your show, I just almost shook my head and thought, the title of the show is called Enduring It Well, and I just cannot believe that I'm at a point where I can say that I am enduring it well, because I wasn't for quite a while. I see the hand of God so much more than I saw before. And I've realized that that's a choice. That every day when I wake up, I have a choice as to whether or not I will recognize God's hand in my day. And if I choose to turn away, then that was my choice. And I will suffer those consequences. I love my life. I'm grateful for the body that He's given me. I'm grateful for the family that He's given me. I still do struggle, but I have the inner strength now to know that it's okay. That it's okay if someone needs to repeat something to me. And it's okay if I don't always catch everything. And it's okay that my children have a mother who can't hear very well. Those things are all okay because I have the inner strength now that I needed. I look at people differently. I have compassion for people. I try to keep Heavenly Father's voice always present.
This should be our purpose, to persevere and endure, yes, but also to become more spiritually refined as we make our way through sunshine and sorrow. Were it not for challenges to overcome and problems to solve, we would remain much as we are, with little or no progress toward our goal of eternal life. The poet expressed much the same thought in these words: good timber does not grow with ease. The stronger the wind, the stronger the trees. The further sky, the greater length. The more the storm, the more the strength. By sun and cold, by rain and snow, in trees and men, good timbers grow.
This poem conjures images of tall, strong trees reaching skyward. For me, it also takes me to episode 40, where the Sorensen family experienced a freak accident when a 100-foot tree in a park fell onto the picnic table where their whole extended family were celebrating.
We were just about to sing happy birthday, and when we heard this crack of the tree, I looked up high in the tree, and I could see a branch broken and basically the flesh of the tree, and then realized that the tree was probably at a 45-degree angle, and so I had that split-second decision whether to stand or run, and I was able to take two steps in a run before the tree hit. It was that fast, and it knocked everybody to the ground. One of the first things that happened was I went to check on Rosanna and make sure she was okay, and she had been hit pretty hard on the back and on the head. She asked, "Where's Sarah?" And so I began to look for the little kids. This tree is covering all of the tables, and so it's pretty chaotic. People are searching for each other and trying to find out, is there anybody hurt? One of my brothers came up to me and said, "You need to come over here because Molly's hurt." At that moment, I could tell that she was gone. I had to go back and tell Rosanna. It was really difficult that I had to say that.
In her grief, Rosanna learned to follow the Holy Ghost.
Following the promptings of the Holy Ghost really pay off. I kept having this overwhelming feeling of being prepared spiritually. And it's the first time, I think, in my life that I really had some strong promptings. I've got to be better about my scripture study. I need to be better about my personal prayers. I need to be better about being prepared. I need to be better about going to the temple. I just really felt this. So I, of course, followed those promptings, thank goodness. And I remember really receiving the answer that I was being prepared for my own Y2K, and that was
June 5th. June 5th was the day the tree took their daughter and Dawn's mother, both named Molly.
We're all experiencing some sort of trial. Not all of us have these dramatic things like this. But every day there's these little trials that we're also having to learn.
When we receive a witness from the Holy Ghost, there is no greater witness. That is directly from the Godhead. And we can rely on that. And if we only have that witness once in our life, that the atonement of Jesus Christ is real, we can rely on that for the rest of our life. When you receive something from the Holy Ghost, that's eternal. And Heavenly Father doesn't need to tell you that again and again and again. You know it. When you lose a loved one and you know something about Heavenly Father's plan of salvation, suddenly it becomes absolutely real to you. And either you, at that moment, have great hope and faith that it's true, and that carries you forward. Or, in my case, I knew it was true. And you'll see them again.
Only the Master knows the depths of our trials, our pain and our suffering. He alone offers us eternal peace in times of adversity. He alone touches our tortured souls with his comforting words, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."
Amy Crockett Staley joined her parents in episode 20 to describe the trial of being left behind by suicide when her brother David's life ended. This trial changed her perspective of the gospel and the atonement.
I've always been one who has believed in the things that I have been taught in the gospel. I've tried to live my life accordingly. Never have I been tested about the validity of those beliefs until the passing of my brother. And I spent a lot of time when Dave first passed on worrying about him. And most of my prayers were concerning David. And eventually, I realized a couple of years after Dave had died that I needed to quit worrying about him and start worrying about my own salvation and start focusing on what the atonement meant to me personally. Every person needs it. I haven't taken my own life, but I need the atonement just as much and every bit as my brother does. And so once I was able to turn my heart towards the Savior in my own behalf, that's when greater healing came to me. Ultimately, I know that the Savior knows every single one of us. I know that He knows our happiness, our sadness, our moments of despair, our moments of joy. He will make up for all of our losses, each and every one.
May we ever strive to be close to our Heavenly Father. To do so, we must pray to Him and listen to Him every day. We truly need Him every hour, whether they be hours of sunshine or of rain. May His promise ever be our watchword. Quote, "I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee," close quote.
Dan Lilienquist, in episode 33, found himself on board a doomed airplane falling from 10,000 feet towards the jungle floor in Guatemala en route to a humanitarian project.
The first thought that went through my mind was, you're going to die. And the second thought, it was really kind of a logical thought, you're going to die. And then the second thought was, that's okay. Everybody dies. I looked through my life briefly. I felt like I had lived appropriately, and I felt like with my family in particular, I hadn't left things undone. Certainly felt like there was more I wanted to do. After that, my thoughts went to my children and mourned my kids on the way down. It was just a few minutes. The thing I worry about the most, and only real tragedy long term, is if I forget about it and I lose my way, and I think about that a lot, because
from what you're really saying, if I understand you correctly, is you know how you felt at that moment that it was okay to die, and you want to make sure that you're there again when that time comes.
And I always think of, I'm a money guy, and the net present value of keeping the commandments of God and keeping your covenants with Him are infinite. It's all He has. Everything that we do when we make poor choices, it's irrational when viewed in the eyes of eternity. Because Heavenly Father says, I have all that I have is yours. And covenants and promises and keeping the commandments are really a really good investment strategy. Any time we lose our way from that, we are making poor long-term investment decisions, really, with our life. And you see so many people, and the scriptures warn about it, so many people who lose their way and have, you know, to some degree, some measure of success in the eyes of men and lose their way. And I worry about that. I think every one of us should worry about that. You always think there's time. There's time to do this or do that. And for me, I guess I realize there's not. There's not just time. How do we make sure that we're not missing the great moments? I think 3,000 years from now, all of our lives are going to seem remarkably short, whether it's 33 or 92. Now, I want to make sure that when I go, that I'm ready to go. What really matters today will also really matter 3,000 years from now. And if we can see through that lens, through the lens of what a long-term perspective is, we can see through and see wisdom even as we're suffering.
I have known President Monson personally for over 15 years now. I felt his tender care, compassion, and love towards me and my family. He lovingly helped me bless each of my children as they entered dangerous spine surgeries. He loved my daughter's voice, a voice now silenced since her passing. He stood by us as we said farewell to her for a season. I will never forget him saluting Shanna's casket as it was taken to the cemetery. As I sat in the conference center and heard President Monson speak so tenderly of his own loss, my heart hurt for this good shepherd who has spent a lifetime tending to others. President Monson is clearly showing all of us the value of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives, and especially during times of adversity.
Of utmost comfort to me during this tender time of parting has been my testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the knowledge I have that my dear Francis lives still. I know that our separation is temporary. We were sealed in the house of God by one having authority to bind on earth and in heaven. I know that we will be reunited one day and will never again be separated. This is knowledge that sustains me. With all the strength of my soul, I testify that God lives and loves us, that His only begotten Son lived and died for us, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ is that penetrating light which shines through the darkness of our lives. May it ever be so.
This has been Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen, presented by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.